Welcome to today's edition of the Bible Class. Our teacher, Dr. Kenneth C. Hill, is teaching from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes. You may send your questions by email through our website at whcbradio.org. That's whcbradio.org. Or you may mail the questions to the Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Blountville, Tennessee, 37617. And now, here is Dr. Hill with today's lesson.
Welcome to the Bible Class. We continue in this session the book of Ecclesiastes. We're in chapter 8. We're looking at the inequalities of life as found in chapter 8. And we're at verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried, who had come and gone from the place of the holy, and they were forgotten in the city where they had so done. This is also vanity, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times, and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. There is vanity which is done upon the earth, that there be just men unto whom it happeneth according to the work of the wicked. Again, there be wicked men to whom it happeneth according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry, for that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. When I applied mine heart to know wisdom, and to see the business that is done upon the earth, for also there is neither day nor night seeth sleep with his eyes, then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun, because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. Here in these verses of chapter 8, the word forgotten is seen as the word praise. And they were forgotten in the city. They were praised in the city when the wicked were buried. They were also forgotten, of course, but the word forgotten could be the word praised, and it is in some manuscripts. The statement would then mean that Solomon has observed that the wicked receive an honorable burial and praise after their death, or praise for their death because of their wickedness. If you take the former instead of the latter explanation, you would see that observation reinforced by the fact that the fortunes of the righteous and the wicked are often reversed. The righteous sometimes get what the wicked deserve, and the wicked often get what the righteous deserve. And we saw that in verse 14, as being one of the vanities done upon the earth. Solomon never counsels his readers to forget God and cast their lot with the wicked, because Solomon knows by faith that it will go well for those who fear God and are righteous. Ultimately, it will not go well for the wicked. It's clearly a faith position on the part of Solomon, since what he observes in life often contradicts this position. And this puzzling reversal should not deter man from enjoying life under the hand of God, as we see there in verse 15. And in verse 16 and 17 of chapter 8, the inability of man to understand God's work is emphasized by the threefold negation of the verb find out with the work of God as its object every time. Furthermore, man cannot know God's disposition by observation, since the same calamities strike both the wicked and the righteous, as we see when we get into chapter 9 in the first couple of verses. For all this I considered in my heart, chapter 9, verse 1, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, and to the good and to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrificeth and to him that sacrificeth not. As is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. He tells us that we find the work of God going on, and sometimes the same problems strike both the just and the unjust. As we continue reading in chapter 9, we're going to find that the hope for all men is just to simply stay alive. This is the hope of everyone. A lion was highly regarded, but the dog was despised. But when the dog was alive, he was better than a lion that was dead. Because life has knowledge, life has rewards, life has continued activity upon the earth. And so we see the desire of all humankind to live. We read verse 3, this is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the hearts of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Now, before you think that it's a pessimistic statement there in verse 5 about life after death, I don't believe that that is the case. I think it affirms that life on earth is the only place where we can achieve opportunities and rewards, that in heaven we will have already worked the work that we could do before we got to heaven as far as rewards go, and rewards will be handed out as we are there in glory. Verse 5, we read, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Your work is done here. Your rewards are achieved here. Verse 6, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. Their contact, their connections is all over when they die. Verse 7, and we could say, I guess, before we get to verse 7, we could say when we die and include ourselves. That's what Solomon was doing, but he was sort of in the third person here. Verse 7, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. When we read the garments being white, they are pure. And that's what we're to be. We're to be pure. And we're to not lack any ointment, because we're to be anointed properly. When we're in public, when we're going about, we are to have a happy countenance. Live joyfully with a wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor, which thou takest under the sun. So enjoy your wife, enjoy your spouse, enjoy your family. Verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Remember, I told you that in this chapter, in chapter 9, that we would be seeing that all things come to the righteous and to the wicked. They don't just end with one or the other group. And then he gives us principles for living because we are wanting to live. Whatever you do, do with all your might, because if you go to the grave, or when you go to the grave, you won't be able to do the work anymore. And then he goes to tell us in verses 11 through 17 that wisdom is better than strength. That wisdom is better than strength. For the first time in the passages on enjoyment, there, live joyfully with thy wife whom thou lovest, the key words of the exhortation are put into an imperative mood. That is, eat now, drink now, live now. It's a new motivation, and it's expressed there quite purposely. God approves of the enjoyment of life. That's seen in verse 7 when we see that God accepts your works. God's will is that men should enjoy their days of life on this earth. The idea of enjoyment's further reiterated in verses 8 with two directives: white garments, purity on the body, and ointment on the head, make life more comfortable. And of course, it is purity that's symbolized, but white garments in and of themselves in the physical would be helpful in that climate. And so we need to enjoy life with one's wife, because it's our portion in this life, and there's no work or accomplishment from a human standpoint in the grave. Verse 10. Now we've got five statements coming up. Listen carefully. Verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. I need to show this verse to my wife. I need for you to show this verse to your friends. It's not with swiftness. It's not with strength. It's not with food. It's not with riches. It's not yet favor. But it's time and chance. Now think about that. And I've met some economists who would agree with that 100%. I've met other economists that would not. I've met some philosophers who would agree with that wholeheartedly, and I've met some who profess to be philosophers who would not. But the truth is, these five statements bring unexpected results, but they have an explanation. Man's abilities cannot guarantee the results. There are equalizing effects of time and chance. You say, wait a minute, the word chance is used there. It is. Does that mean happenstance? No, not at all. It means fortune. It also means God's planning for you. Is God taken something by surprise? That's not the way the word chance is used there, to be that God would be taken by surprise. That's not it. It's chance to us. It's not chance or happenstance to God. Look at it again. The race is not always to the swift. The battle is not always to the strongest army. Neither is it bread to the wise, meaning fulfillment, physical fulfillment to the wisdom, to the people who have wisdom. And it's not riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men who are skillful. but time and chance happens to everybody. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes are taken in an evil net. They see it as an evil net. We don't. We see it as a net properly placed to catch the fish. And as birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, when it falleth suddenly upon them. Again, it's time and chance. Time and chance. Now let's go to verse 13. This wisdom have I seen also under the sun, it seemed great unto me. There was a little city, and a few men within it, and there came a great king against it, and besieged it, and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city. Yet no man remembered that same poor man. Then said I, wisdom is better than strength. Nevertheless, the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are not heard. This story that Solomon is giving us here teaches us that in spite of wisdom's value, wisdom is often ignored. Wisdom is not of importance to many. And in this case, it was this wise poor man that saved the city, and no one cared. No one took time to say, thank you, wise poor man. No one took the time to hold his hand and to help him up if he was feeble. And they did not take opportunity to offer him an offering for his having saved the little city. And yet, wisdom is better than strength. Just don't be expecting that you will be rewarded for your wisdom. I've got a hypothetical thing for you I want to talk about, but it may be that you've encountered this. You work hard. You plan hard. You think hard. You have wisdom in your job. And you are of the opinion that you have done a good thing. Whatever it is, your work has been good. In fact, your work has been so good for your company that it's saved your company from many failures. And yet, you are ignored. The vice president that you work for, 14 rungs down the ladder from him, gets accolades and gets promotion and gets a huge raise. And it was you, down somewhere in the belly of the business, that caused the company to do well. Now you can either get angry and say something akin to, well, I'm just not going to help them anymore. If I have a good idea, I'm going to keep it to myself. It's not right for them to mistreat me in such a fashion. I deserve a raise. I deserve an accolade. I deserve someone's recognition. So you can have that attitude. Or you can say, Solomon told me it was going to be like this. Wisdom is better than strength, more powerful than strength. But a poor man's wisdom is despised. And our words, although they were heeded to save the city or save the business, will not be heard again. How sad. How sad. You see, the world around us does not respect wisdom, even though wisdom is stronger than the strongest individual, the strongest army, the strongest nation. Wisdom is stronger. Verse 17, the words of wise men are heard in a quiet more than in the cry of him that ruleth among fools. Are there fools among us? Let me ask again, very kindly, are there fools among us? And the answer is yes. And there are more fools among us than we would like to admit that are among us. So the words of wise men are heard in quiet. Nobody around. It's very private. more than the cry of him that ruleth among fools. So your words, if you are a wise person, are paid better heed to your words than they are to the words of a ruler of fools. Wisdom, verse 18 of chapter 9, Ecclesiastes. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroyeth much good. And so it is that whatever our hand finds to do, do it with all your might.
Thank you for joining us today for this edition of the Bible Class with Dr. Kenneth C. Hill. You may reach us by email by going to our website, whcbradio.org, and sending us an email on the Contact Us link. That's whcbradio.org. If you prefer to use the postal service, our address is The Bible Class, WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. That's The Bible Class, care of WHCB, Post Office Box 5, Bluntville, Tennessee, 37617. You may also call us at 423-878-6279. Until our next Bible Class program, we are trusting that the Lord will richly bless you as you serve Him.